The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, a new Netflix limited series called Kylie is out now. You may already have watched it. The documentary examines the influential career of pop icon Kylie Minogue. It's directed by BAFTA and Emmy Award winning Michael Hart. And I'm delighted to say that he joins me now. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Claire. How's it going?
Great to have you with us. I say influential career of pop icon Kylie Minogue, but it's a really personal film that you've made, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, that's what we were trying to do. You know, we wanted to use the music as a way into Kylie, as opposed to the other way around, where we're using her to explore her music. It's a deeply, deeply intimate and personal film. That was always our intention from the start, and she delivered. And you know, it goes a long way in a 3-part series that you have that level of emotional honesty, which can be hard to get, but you know. I kind of spent a long time with her. We spent 2 years making this film, and it wasn't long until we kind of connected and that emotional honesty started to flow when we were filming with her. But yeah.
And then it seems to me, from what I've read, that she sought you out, Michael. I mean, you come off the back of Beckham, of course, and Still, that gorgeous film about Michael J. Fox that you made. So is that right, that she came to find you, essentially?
I would love for that to be true, for me to be able to say, Kylie Minogue sought me out. No, that actually isn't true. The person who sought me out was the producer, John Batsick. He's an Oscar winner, a double Oscar winner. And he had been chipping away at this project for about maybe 10 years, you know. So he was trying to get Kylie on board as soon as she started to express an interest that she may want to do it. John produced Beckham and I edited it as well with John, but he kind of had an instinct when he worked with me that I'd be a good fit with Kylie, and he mentioned it to her. And so I wasn't even sure myself. I remember going to meet her, and we were put together in the Chateau Marmont in LA. I was on a different edit on a project called Deaf President Now, and I went to meet her, but I didn't think I'd get the job. John loved how I worked and how I edited and my kind of storytelling sensibilities, but I still didn't think I'd get the job. So I went along thinking this would be something cool to tell my mum in Donegal, and I went to the Chateau Marmont and had a drink with Kylie Minogue and maybe I'll get a selfie. But we really clicked when we were there, and that's what John was trying to see, if there would be a chemistry between the two of us. The restaurant was really dark and we were waiting for her, and when she came in, I always remember she was like this kind of beam of light. I think that's how Nick Cave describes her in the documentary in episode 2. But she really was. And I remember thinking, if I can take this energy that came from her, which was completely intoxicating, and turn it into a movie in a similar way that we did with Michael J. Fox. You know, we want to take the essence of him, not necessarily just a story or his character, the kind of energy and a vibrancy from him. And it was the same. I felt it was a slightly different energy, but from Kylie. I thought if we can take this and turn it into a movie, then it could be really special.
And you're in it, like you're a presence in it. We hear your voice, we hear you, you know. Oh. We know you're from Donegal. We can, you know, did you make a conscious decision to leave yourself in that? Because that doesn't always happen with these types of productions.
I don't know. I don't think it was a conscious thing. I mean, you know, a lot of the projects that I've worked on, Beckham and Still with Michael J. Fox, we used their, I edited those. So I left the director's voice in there a lot. I do it a lot. I kind of love hearing people's voices because it gives you a sense that there's a conversation happening.
Yeah,
and you go back
and forth. I think you're right. I think it really works as a device, but I suppose it's a decision that you have to make, isn't it? Do I want to be in this thing?
Well, exactly. And the reason, you know, the truth is the reason I got into film and the reason I wanted to be a director is because I don't want to be in front of the camera. I have no interest, and I'm uncomfortable there 100%. And so I never thought I'd put my voice in there. But actually what started to happen was the more we got to know each other and the more I interviewed her, she really started to open up. And I felt that she was opening up to me. And I just wanted to keep that conversation between the two of us part of the story. You know, some of the things that Kylie says in this, she's kind of never really spoken about before. And you're not just, you know, we're documenting not just her, you know, her telling the story of the past, we're documenting her talking about it today. You know, that is part of this documentary. She's not just rattling off stories that she's told 100 times. So I thought it was really important to just make sure the audience could feel like they were almost me in the room with her, you know.
Yes. And you were blessed as well because she has lots and lots of footage from her entire career and her life, like from her childhood up.
I mean, blessed and cursed because there's just so much of it. And luckily, I'm an editor and I've been doing it for a while, so I edited this as well. So I have a good handle on how to get material down, but it was incredible. It was like, you know, she's a musician. She's also, you know, a fashion icon, but also she's an actor. So I had hundreds of episodes of Neighbours to go through and her movies and everything that goes with that. But also her brother was a cameraman, so he would follow her around for 30 years, kind of come and go. And as I would watch it, I remember thinking, this is, you know, she's been on TV since she was 6 years old, maybe even younger. And I had so much material, I started to think to myself, this is like the Truman Show. You know, there, she has lived her life in front of a lens.
Yes.
And also I think that goes a long way to why people kind of connect with Kylie. You know, because they've watched her grow up and because they've seen her develop and rise and fall, and rise again, you know, we're not just connected to her music, we're actually connected to her as a person because we've watched her grow up and we've grown up with her.
We've grown up with her. And, you know, to my mind, when I was growing up, she was the shiny, happy actress in Neighbours. Then she became the Stock, Aitken and Waterman singer with all of those kind of cheesy pop songs for a while. And then when she moved out of that, I think the whole world was sort of going, oh, why is she doing a song with Nick Cave? Why is she going out with that guy? It was like we'd all decided to label Kylie Minogue. And when she tried to break away from what we had perceived her to be, we weren't necessarily comfortable with it often.
No, that's so true, Claire. That's a really good point. And one of the first things she said to me when I interviewed her was, I don't like to be trapped in anything. I don't like to be defined in a certain way. And it really struck me when she said it. So when I would look through the archive, I had that in my head. And what I noticed from watching like 30, 40 years of material is that she always felt that, even when she was 19 years old. You know, she goes on the Terry Wogan Show and they say, you can't be a singer because, you know, you're an actor. Or like you said, when in 1991, she decides to change her image, completely change her image. And they're like, you can't dress like that because you are a pop star. But she always kind of refused to be defined and never to be told who you are. This is who you are and this is how it's going to be. She always refused that. And actually, she came under massive, massive criticism for it, but continued, you know, on her course. And to this day, it's the same. You know, maybe she would talk about her age and some people would say, you can't be a pop star now. You can't sing about those things at this age. And she just refuses to accept that. And sometimes I think, you know, it goes a long way. When I see the footage, I could see the connection between her and the LGBTQ community as well, because they were seeing somebody, especially in the early 90s, who was being kind of vilified for just trying to be themselves or being themselves. You know what I mean? And so they saw her go through all that criticism. And what they also saw was somebody who then carried through and stuck to her guns and said, I don't care what you think. And I always kind of thought about the first lyric in I Should Be So Lucky, which is like, in my imagination, there is no complication. And that's so true. And it kind of speaks to the whole story, which is like, in your mind, who you want to be and who you are is very simple, but it's the world around you that makes it much more complicated. But in your imagination, it's not. It's much simpler.
And Michael, you described her as a beam of light when she walked in to meet you the first time. Is she also quite a steely person?
I hate speaking on her behalf, but yeah, I mean, she has to be because of what she's gone through. I think you need to have that steeliness to get through huge falls that she had. And, you know, she was diagnosed in 2005 and probably thought she would never sing again, but her kind of, you know, her resilience to get on stage again comes from a steadiness that I don't know where that comes from. You know, it's, I just think it's inbuilt in her, and her fans are everything to her. And she just, when she, and I noticed though, when I talked to her, she would always talk about how much her fans meant to her. And, you know, it sounds so cheesy to say it, the show must go on. And in so many times in her career, you know, she was probably told the show now is done. It's over. But she refused that. Like we said about being put in a box, and she refused that. But she always got back on stage. And I think potentially, I don't know, like I said, I'd like to speak on her behalf, but a lot of her steeliness comes from her absolute love for her fans, and almost like she feels like she owes them something, and vice versa, you know. And I think when the chips were down, that's the other side of it. Nick Cave describes it. I keep bringing up Nick Cave. He's really good at this, but he said, you know, Kylie's love for her audience, it's real. It's not phony. It's a true form of love. And I think her fans and her have this deep, deep connection that's very real. And I think when the chips were down, she would find that steeliness that you talked about to kind of get back on stage and show her fans that she's not going anywhere.
Well, look, it's on Netflix now. I know even from my own anecdotal experience, so many people are talking about it. So it seems to be hitting the mark, Michael.
Oh, that's exciting. That's really exciting.
What's the next project? Are you already working on something?
My next project is to probably go to sleep for a couple of months because because I worked on this for 2 years and I edited and I directed it and wrote it and helped out with the music. And I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old. And so,
oh, that's your project.
But that's it's the biggest project of all, I have to say. So I think they haven't had their dad probably in their lives enough over the last 2 years. So I haven't picked anything yet. You know, this is the first time in 10 years that I've decided not to pick a project until this was finished, because I wanted to, I knew it was a special project and I kind of wanted to enjoy it when it was released and not be kind of deep in another project. So, nothing yet, but we'll see. I've got a couple of dream projects, but we'll see if they come to pass.
Michael, it's been lovely to talk to you, and we're all really proud of you. I'm allowed to say that. We're all really proud of you here in Ireland. You're just flying the flag. It's incredible what you're achieving. So, congratulations.
That's really kind. Thank you.
Well done. Michael Hart there, who is an Emmy and BAFTA winning director, producer and editor.
The Claire Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.